Reverend McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a point of order. I'm not sure of the timekeeping, but they use my watch at the Olympics. I'm just saying. And I've got 3 minutes to go. Now, Honourable Shin is not here yet. And then if Honourable Shin, you know, I must defend my colleague. Thank you, Chair.
Committee must be transport one as well. I just give.
Okay, I think we should start the funders on the way. At least we have done our best in terms of time management.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sasa, over to you.
Afternoon, Chair, and afternoon, distinguished members. And it's always a pleasure for us to come here and present in front of you. And significantly, we are presenting the annual report for the financial year under question. Afternoon, sir. Yes. And briefly, if I were to touch on a few things before I hand over to my CEO, I want to say, and also I want to also welcome the board members that are here, I've got my back chair, who's done spelling work behind this report, together with USASA team, and also the back member, who's also who has been working tirelessly with the chair. Now, very quickly, I wanted to put the members at ease to say. I'm sure they've read through the report, but the report itself, it's a culmination of a board that at the beginning was limping in terms of for the younger question of complement. But however, DTPS later managed to actually they've managed to make sure that the board has its full complement. That only happened during the latter part of the year, when we're almost left with a quarter to complete the year. So I'd like the members to look at the report, the annual report, against that backdrop as well. And I want to say the report itself, it reflects a mix of results. And almost 70% is that mix. I won't go deep into what that is all about. The team here is going to do that. But all I want to say is, for instance, under USAF, for broadband infrastructure and connectivity, we've done our best for the under question to meet the ACP that we're supposed to meet. And then under digital migration, we've done our best as far as we can, despite the legal issues that are still pending. I want also to actually impress the members on what USASA did. The CEO will delve deep into this. But for instance, There's areas of internal focus and areas of external focus. On the areas of internal focus, for instance, the stability on the board itself, we would not have any resignations this year. The Yanda question. Then the committees themselves, we would manage to strengthen them in terms of the expertise that we had were given by DTPS. Under risk areas, The big issue is litigation, which is being managed through our executive management. And USASA SEM processes are actually seamless in terms of how those are managed. Again, the back oversight responsibilities are excellent, as I'm sure you've seen through the reports, by minimization of the findings that we've had. And the materiality of action plans that need to actually be dealt with, not to underplay them, but they are not as significant as they were supposed to be. That shows an improvement in itself. And I want to say the APP itself throughout that year was followed through by Exco's board and so on. So, and underscoring that is culture and climate, which as board we're grappling with. And also then we've got the DFF, which is developments going forward, and that is managed through management and so on to allay staff fears and so on. In fact, what management is actually planning to do is to show the positive side of DFF than negative, which has consequential loss of jobs and so on, which won't be the case. On the external front, I want to say the committee, for instance, one area, for instance, which we've exploited in the previous year, which this year is going to be exploited very rigorously, is the area of partnerships. Because this idiom, or whatever you can call it, of doing more with less, we need to push that very, very much. So, but also, you know, when I was listening to Nemisa here presenting, I was saying to them outside, Yes, we've done a lot last year in terms of talking about partnerships and so on, but we've not fully sort of exploited that. And in this coming year, for instance, you know, we need to do a lot of that, but I don't want to talk to you for this year. So in terms of last year, there's quite a lot we've done, but now we need to put that into practice. We've done a lot, i.e., for instance, in terms of the anchor tenancy model, where we've installed and so on to sustain the sort of the broadband. We've done a lot in terms of external engagements with stakeholders and so on, public awareness. This coming year, it's something we'll do better with MEMISA, because I think we'll do it better if we combine as a team. And on sustainability, again, we've done a lot of exploration last year. I think this year we need to put that in practice, and I see the opportunity there with MEMISA as far as, for instance, doing social and economic impact studies and so forth. So I'll stop there and ask for the team to go extensively in terms of the presentation that they've prepared. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, honourable sir, and honourable members. We're going to talk to both the two entities, USASA and USAF. But we'll start with USASA. As the chair has already introduced, following the presentation by Auditor General, I'm sure we can all see that from where we were, we're moving forward. Of course, we would like to be far, but you can't overnight change to where you want to be, but we are on that path. I am not going to bore you with the first slide that just basically contextualizes who we are, our mission and the mandate, where we derive our mandate, because we are an organ of state. We therefore derive our mandate from policy and law, and those slides speak to that, up to the recent plans. Maybe alert to the recent plan pronounced by the National Treasury, the 9-point plan, which also speaks to some of the areas of our focus. I'll zoom into the performance report, and CFO will speak to the financial part of the report. If you allow me, Chair, I'll just speak to the red area. I don't know why the color is red. It should be another color, but it's red to show the areas that's not achieved. Chair, in respect to the first strategic goal, we have not been able to fully achieve the activity and the program in respect of work skills plan, simply because the plan general perhaps, let me preempt this annual report by admitting that our annual report 2016-17, both USASA and USAF, was not SMART. It did not comply with the SMART principles. We have tried to review it midterm, but we could not achieve that. So therefore, we had to implement it as smart as it is. So as a result of that, you find some of the non-achievement are as a result of the poor planning, and that speaks to our training plan. Thereof, we could not achieve. Secondly, we also, in respect of policy reviews, we could not achieve those by the end of the financial year, which is 31st March. But as of now, we have met some of those outstanding activities. Also, on the area that you were concerned about last year, which was the automation and the integration of business processes, we have whilst it shows red, it's showing red because we did not necessarily, we were unable to get the critical SEP skills that we needed in order to then assist us as we implement it. But we were able to achieve going live. We technically went live by December and functionally went live by end of the financial year. But we do have challenges, and amongst others, it's as a result of not having the necessary SEP skills internally. The problem there was, whilst that was on the APP, but it did not follow budget, or budget did not follow the activity. So we could not recruit those skills that we needed because we didn't have the budget. I'm skipping the other slides where is areas that we have achieved and give the overall performance report of USASA, where out of the 9 planned targets, we achieved 6, and said it's an improvement from what USASA did in the previous financial year. Of course, we had wanted to do more than 67%, but in the light of all the challenges that we had to navigate, we were able to achieve these. And the 3 that we did not achieve were really, we should have achieved them, but of course, the poor planning, the capacity led to us to be where we are. But as of now, I can assure you that we, except for the SEP one, but the others, we have already closed those outstanding matters. The next slide shows you the human capital. And in this regard, in the year under review, you would recall that previous year, the biggest challenge AG had raised was the vacancies at executive level. So these were filled in the year under review. CEO joined us in June, CFO joined us in October, and we still don't have a fully complementary team, but we're getting there. We don't have a full team because as we're implementing the plan and dealing with the challenges that USASA has, we lost some people. Of those people, 2 are following actions that were being taken in respect of consequence management, and one of those people resigned, one of the executives, as we were taking actions, and when we continued with the actions, the person went further to the CCMA, and the matter, we've just won that matter at the CCMA, and it is now struck off the roll. We applied for the costs to be incurred by the person, but the commissioner did not accept that, but we if the person is still forum fishing, we're hoping to bring back the question of costs related to that matter. The next slide shows the top risks that we have and we're trying to mitigate. And I'm going to summarize them, Chair, if you allow me. In the main, they talk to, the first one speaks to organizational performance and the risk culture leading to inadequate or slow response in addressing performance. That's one of the challenges we're facing, but as you can see from the report we're tabling that we are mitigating that, but it does have a challenge that could negatively affect us if it is not addressed. The abilities to effectively recover should a disaster occur, that is one challenge. And some of these risks, when we mitigate them, we mitigate given the context of where we're going. So we're trying to balance how much we can invest in mitigation of those in the light of the dissolution of USASA that is looming. But of course, until the bill is formally a bill and we can see where we're going, we do need to take actions to mitigate some of these risks within the capacity that we have. The SEP support that we need and maintenance, and the I can state on record that the board last week supported us and approved the support and maintenance of SEP. So we hope to improve and maximize the positive impact that the system would have in our operations. Technical skills are still lacking, but again, in this regard, given that the Digital Development Fund is the future, we may not be able to close this particular gap in the light of the uncertainties. But we are working within the abilities that we have. We obviously, because of the work we do, there is litigation that we always have to navigate, and it could affect us negatively, but we have, I think the wisdom we have legally is helping us to make sure that we minimize the negativity that could be derived out of that. The UNSMART plans, I think we've improved. If you look at our 17-18 plan, is SMART, and we are finalizing an 18-19 plan. So going forward, our APPs would meet and comply with the SMART principles. The last one to speak to is in terms of the OD process that you had raised last year, we had invested in respect of that OD. We are looking at making sure that we implement the recommendations arising out of that OD within, of course, managing how that affects our relations with labor. So we're trying to make sure that we manage that process and get the necessary support we need in order to implement those. I will now ask the CFO to speak to the financials.
Thank you, CEO. Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. In terms of the USASA Statement of Financial Performance, you will note that our total revenue for the year under review was $79.7 million, which was made up of mainly the government grants, transfers from the department of $69 million, and interest received from funds in the bank of $10.6 million. The total expenditure was $147.2 million. And I'm going to hone in on the big ticket item there, which is our general expenses, which is $97.5 million. Now, if you refer to page 90 of our annual report of USASA, the general expenses is broken down. And let me explain what drives that. It is mainly the BDM warehouse and logistics. So this is the monies we pay to the South African Post Office for the storage and distribution of the relating to the BDM equipment. That was, as disclosed in the annual report for the year under review, $74.4 million. You will recall that last year, talking about the financial year ending 2016, is when we actually received the funding for this project. So the funds were all accounted for in terms of income, in terms of revenue in 2016, and it was approximately $146 million. However, the expenditure is ongoing into multi-financial years, so this year we spent $74.4 million. The other item there that makes up the general expenses is the legal fees. Legal fees came in at $9.2 million, and the vast majority of it, approximately 8 million rands, is related to USASA legal fees incurred while defending the BDM project. USOF receives monies for BDM. However, USASA, that executes, that administers it, does not receive any of the like related costs in terms of a budget. So, hence, that's what led to it's not like we received monies for any related admin fees or anything like that. If we look at the in relation to the total BDM project and the value of the purchase orders that we are of the contracts that we are defending, you know, eight million rands, while being a lot of money in proportion to the total value of the contracts, is a small percentage. Moving on to our statement of financial position, the main items there just to draw members' attention to would be, for example, intangible assets increasing from 25.3 to 39.8 million, and that's basically our capitalization of the ERP system that was implemented during this course of this financial year. Under current assets, draw attention to cash and cash equivalents. The drop from 208 to 104 million. Again, this is in relation to the fact that the funds were received in the previous financial year, and now we are using that money to pay for the projects, mainly the BDM warehouse and logistics. That's what is driving that. The next slide is our statement of changes in net assets. Main item there is obviously the deficit that was recorded in this financial year. And then lastly, second lastly, is our statement of cash flows. And then in our statement of cash flows, you can note, for example, the receipts that we receive from government, they're recorded as 69 million, as well as then how we've utilized the funds as detailed below. And lastly, our comparison of our budget against the actual amounts which were spent. And then just to tie up to what I explained in detail in terms of our financial performance, would be the line relating to general expenses, where we've stated that a significant portion of the overspending is attributable to the implementation of the BDM project, which was delayed from the previous year. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Proceeding to the second entity, the fund itself. In this respect, we again, taking the comment I made earlier in terms of it not having been smart, we were unable to achieve our targets in respect of the strategic goal number two, where we facilitate broadband connectivity. And that spoke to just the numbers that we were unable to achieve, the numbers that were set in the plan. Again, one would speak to the reason being the poor planning thereof, but we've tried now to, in terms of our APPs going forward, to mitigate that, and we're hoping that we're not going to face that challenge going forward. The last goal in respect of digital migration project, we also, as the Chair has already explained, we did not achieve the numbers as planned. We were able to only achieve lesser numbers than the planned numbers of procuring and installing the set-top boxes, with the challenges that we were facing at that time. But you would recall that the matter now is almost resolved in respect of the legal uncertainties that existed last year. The Constitutional Court has ruled, and what we face now is just us trying to clear the irregularities as we implement the AG's findings, to clear the irregularities that relate to that project. We have had to go to the High Court, where we basically applied for the High Court to set aside the process and the panels that were established in terms of that process. But in our application, we're also applying for suspension of the decision in respect of the existing contract, so that at least the 1.5 billion committed in terms of the existing contract, it's not 1.5, it's the amount committed in terms of the existing contracts out of the 1.5 billion is not fruitless. So we're hoping to achieve that. We're hoping our application in court will succeed, and if it does succeed, it then assists us in terms of starting a clean process and move forward with the implementation of the BDM towards achieving the targets. We may as well also just briefly update you that the process is still before the court, and as at last week, there was just about 3 respondents who intended opposing the application, but one of them, it was largely on the basis of wanting to be clear in terms of the application itself, and the other two, we will see how the court deals with that matter. But we're hoping that our application will be successful. The USAF results are the ones that we are not very proud of. As a result of the challenges, we only achieved 33%, which is not a good story to tell. But to mitigate that, this year already in first quarter we improved, and second quarter we're hoping to have improvement. So we are on a path of improving how we manage the fund and how we implement the mandate in terms of the fund. The risks are outlined there, which I'm not going to go into all the details. Suffice to speak to one or two, i.e. that in respect of the BDM, we are having a challenge regarding DTH boxes, because we cancelled the contract with the service provider that was poorly performing and had not met the terms and conditions of the supply and delivery agreement. And as a result, we are in short of those boxes. So that is a risk. The supplier is arbitrating our decision. We hope to resolve that as soon as possible in order to be able to move forward regarding availing DTH boxes. The other risk to speak to would relate to quality of our research and evaluation. The DGF already it separates the different mandates of the new fund, so hopefully this going forward will be a mandate that will be led by the department in terms of the DDFP. I'll ask the CFO to speak to the financials.
Thank you again, CEO. In terms of financials for USAF, if we look at the financial performance of USAF, The total revenue of 753 million mainly, it consists of the transfers from the department of 644.5 million, and then finance income, interest that we've earned on funds at the bank of 108.7 million. Now, the total expenditure is only 96.5 million, which results in a surplus of 656.7 million. Now, the reason for that is, and I will explain it as we come to the next slide, is that the if you look at the item listed as inventories, this relates to the equipment for the implementation of the BDM project, where you will see now it's moved from previous year 169 million to 662 million. That is when the BDM stock is distributed to the beneficiaries, that's when it goes through the statement of financial performance. Whilst it is still in the warehouses of SAPO, it remains on my statement of financial position / balance sheet. So that's the reason for mainly that's driving that accounting surplus that you see over there. Okay, next slide, sir. In terms of statement of changes in net assets, that surplus then drives for this financial year the increase from 1.7 billion in at the start of the financial year to closing at 2.449 billion at end of the financial year that's just been audited. In terms of the statement of cash flows, ticket item there to look at is probably under payments, that's suppliers. This tracks the actual cash flow payments that have been made, and it's also the large majority is to suppliers of BDM equipment. Okay. And then lastly, in terms of my statement of comparison of budget and actual amounts, under expenditure, somewhere in the middle there, that's where we've given a brief then description. It ties back that the significant part of the unspent funds relates to subsidization of set-top boxes. And then just a point to mention, I think audit fees, why it is overspent against the budget is that the AG had extended the scope of the audit that they had commenced on the 2016 financial year to cover the DTT project, and hence that was only paid in this current financial year that we are presenting. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. That is the two entities, USASA and USAF. As AG presented this morning, not only did we get unqualified audit reports, but we have also reduced audit findings, which basically just shows how we improving going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Sasa, members, for the presentation. Let's engage. Abu Shin, Abu McKenzie, Abu Kolino, in that order.
Thanks. One day I'd like you, perhaps CFO, to give us a reconciliation of what the delays in the BDM program actually cost government entities. It's quite shocking. I'm not committing you to that. It would be nice to know. Slide 21 of USAF, I'm just wanting to check here. The actual performance of the set-top boxes in the grey column says only 43,272 set-top boxes and antennas were installed at the end of the financial year. And then the variance explanation, a total of 35,393 were recorded in quarter one. Now, is that 35,000 part of the 43, or is it in addition to? In addition to. So what we're saying then is that 78,000 set-top boxes and antenna have been installed by the end of the financial year. Would that be correct?
That's quarter one of this financial year.
Beg your pardon. Then on the court cases, now do I understand now that there are two court cases on the go? One is with the High Court to get the program suspended, should we say, cancelled and reorganized and everybody paid off as not being wasteful expenditure. And then there's one which is the challenge from one of the suppliers on whether he should be paid for shoddy boxes. So are there two separate court cases here? Because you said that he was taking you to arbitration, that the supplier was taking you to arbitration because of your decision that he didn't comply with the quality. So I'm wondering if there are two, and if so, what kind of dates can we expect on answers on both of those? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just a comment first. I'm not sure who produces these presentations here, but there must have been an awful lot of trees that died for no reason, and an awful lot of ink, color ink, that was used on these. I've got blank pages after blank pages after blank pages on this thing. It's a complete waste of resources, Chairperson. That's the comment. Thank you for the presentation. Can you tell me, the storage costs to SAPA obviously form a big part of your expenditure. The court challenges on BDM, how does that influence the stockholding for SAPA? Honourable Shin spoke about a general cost, that would be very interesting. But just in terms of the storage costs, have these court actions stopped you from rolling out the distribution, and has that then incurred these storage costs with the SAPA? And if these court challenges hadn't happened, would you have incurred these costs to this degree? If you can just give me a sense of scale, that's really what I'm looking for. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the legal fees, also on the legal fees, you've said in your first presentation that you have defended, you know, it successfully. I just want to say, was there any costs awarded towards you in your favor? Then there must be some money coming back, and it's not just a one-way stream paying the lawyers all the time. And then, you know, quite frankly, you say that you did not achieve the first two in the first presentation because of poor planning. I just want to know, was it poor planning on behalf of the institution or on behalf of the board? And then finally, you know, it's all about, you know, when you've provided the opportunity for data in 127 schools or 93 clinics, I can carry on. Is there some way to monitor it that it is working? And is it possible to have a breakdown to say, in that school, so many data was used over the first quarter. In that clinic, there were no data used. And then you can obviously know the data shows, but it doesn't work. You know, the most frustrating, you go to the airport where you so-called try to get Wi-Fi for free. It's not working. It shows on your tool, but nothing is working. Is your data working?
Thank you, Chairperson. The first clarity question from Honourable Shin, which is the one of the number of photo boxes. No, there is only one court case, is the review application in terms of the BDM process. The one I was referring to, the arbitration, is in terms of our supply and delivery agreement, where, given the dispute that we have with the supplier, we then invoked the provision in our agreement to arbiter, and that's the arbitration that we are handling with them. Honourable McKenzie, no, we did not print your presentation with us. The your second question in terms of whether the court cases contributed to the stock holding. Firstly, the question would be, we continued to install set-top boxes even as there was the court case that was applied for by the Department of Communications. It did not stop us from rolling the project, so we continued, except for us suspending in terms of new productions as at the time when that decision was taken. But what was produced before that, we continued to install. The current application we have, as I explained, we part of the application is a suspension of that decision in respect of the current, the existing contract. So therefore, it doesn't stop us. So we are continuing to install the set-top boxes. What has contributed to delays and the stock that has not moved was a whole number of other reasons, including the public awareness program, budget for public awareness, and I would say basically factors ranging from internally USASA, DOC, post office, the entire project, the way it was rolled out at the beginning. And when we picked up those delays, there was a review of the strategy and there was a change of gear where there was a different way of reaching out to communities. And with that intervention, there was improvement of registration and take up, so the installations improved. As we speak now, we actually, the fruits of that intervention, as well as that, there is more registrations now than installations. So we're trying hard to try now and catch up and close that gap. So it's not necessarily because of the court cases. Honorable Kornoff, the CCMA cost, now we paid our, the commissioner refused to give the former staff member and the judgment for her to pay the cost. So we paid for our cost and she paid for hers. Poor planning is basically the institution, the APP that we had for 2016 and 17 was not as much to ensure that you don't have the challenges that we faced. So it's the issue. In terms of monitoring the broadband free Wi-Fi project, we currently we've had to engage with the service providers and agreed to access to their network management system with the different delegations where we can live see exactly what's happening on the ground. So we have the arrangement with one of the service providers in the Northwest Northern Cape and the one in the Eastern Cape. We're finalizing that system to both of us have access to that so that we can monitor. The results we have now is actually, in particular in the recent one in the Eastern Cape, it is a busy network. It's quite very, very busy. One would say that is as a result of the other activities that we had that stimulated the user side, and as a result, there is more consciousness. Of course, there remains an opportunity, and we still hope that communities, entrepreneurs will see this opportunity and make use of the network. So there is still more opportunity, there is room for improvement,
but the usage is quite increasing more than the service provider had expected. As a result, the service provider now is making sure that there is enough capacity so that we don't have problems as a result of the usage. Is there any other question I missed out? No. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just for my own clarity, so that 79 million holding cost, warehouse holding cost, that's a normal expense that we could expect to incur in the rollout of set-top boxes. Yes. Thank you.
Just wanting to know. Regarding, you know, the change of what's happening and the new legislation that's coming and the digital development fund and all of that sort of good thing, obviously this takes some years to actually implement. What is your financial stability? Because you're still going to be drawing money from USF to operate, to continue doing what you're doing, which is rolling out the set-top boxes that are, you know, still there. And plus connecting your schools and whatever. Are you going to get sufficient funding to do that until the legislation is promulgated? Or are you just sort of hanging in there on the wing and a prayer? Because if the Digital Development Fund proceeds, there could well be some complications with its passing.
The DG is here to answer that question. if funding is never enough, I think the need is far more than any funding that could be appropriated to us. We have just connected 8 municipalities out of 236 municipalities in the country, so that's basically a drop in the ocean. Even on broadcasting, we have been allocated the money for the 1.5 households. There is now a need for 3.5 households to meet the 5 million the targeted for subsidy. So the need is far more than the available resources, but the allocation for the MTF remains. I hope DG will make sure that nothing is taken from us to meet the other country requirements so that we can continue as we continue as USAF and USAF. Until DDF is enacted and the effective date has been promulgated, and the models the provisions that will be in the DDF in terms of how do we improve the funding of the fund in order to meet the needs. But for now, the long and short answer is that we do have the money allocated in terms of MTF. It has not increased. We would like it to increase. We have made submissions to DDPS and National Treasury because there are challenges. For example, the broadcasting digital migration, the allocation was for a 70% subsidy of set-top boxes, which did not include installation and distribution. So when the then minister changed policy in 2016 to 100%, including 100% of installation and distribution, it meant affecting that budget. So there is an additional funding requirement that we have applied for. We hope to get it because this is a priority project needed in order to free spectrum for the bigger SA Connect project. And we do have support from DDPS in that regard.
So are you I'm just sort of interpreting from what you said there that, okay, once you're still going to, once the legal hassles are sorted out, that you will continue to roll out the rest of the 5 million boxes in some other format. You're not going to redo the whole program. Because there never was enough money in the first place, and there's less money now. Surely there has to be a total revision of what it is you're actually rolling out so you can switch off the signal.
We have a scheduled meeting with the minister to discuss that. So perhaps the minister, because it's the minister who can make that pronouncement, could guide in that regard. As of now, the policy we have, the directive we have, is to continue rollout in terms of the current project.
And
also, that, I mean, the schools of thought as well. You know, this is still exploratory, but it's something, as the CEO is saying, is going to be finalized with the minister. The fact that, I mean, the prices of these technologies have gone down. So it's quite possible or probable that with the money we have and a little bit of another expropriation from Treasury, we could be able to roll out. So the challenge is going to be on the methodology that is applied in terms of rolling this thing and applying some science and efficiencies to it, you know, for us to reach what Lungo is saying, the ultimate goal of actually making the spectrum available. So it's not necessarily that it's going to be billions and billions. And in fact, the assessment is not going to be huge money required. I think where we stand, well, once we finalize the approach, then it's going to be also on the supply chain management of it. How is it done? You know, what lessons have we learned from before and so on. So it's just going to be very critical and it's done properly. And until such time that the department decides to dissolve us. I wanted very quickly to go back, for instance, on something that you touched on as well. The company that is actually having a dispute with us, it's around content license mainly, but other things as well. You know, what's the local content and so on, and it's the only supply of DTH, so which was stopped by USASA in terms of them not fulfilling that prerequisite. So if they are going to challenge it, we'll see how they are challenging it and on what basis. But that is still subject to actually taking the full fulfillment of the legal processes. Thank you.
So just to clarify, when I say minister on the BDM, I mean the Minister of Communications. Mm-hmm. And on the broadband, I mean the Minister of Telecommunications.
I think we've exhausted all the questions and responses. We've now come to the end of the business of the day. But as we close, let us just highlight issues of concern that we must emphasize on the late submission of the presentation. But to be honest, not all entities have submitted late. And not only about submission, the time of submission, but also the quality of reports. We are avoiding at all costs to reject other people's reports, and we are appealing that the people should improve on the quality of their reports. And DG, we appreciate your commitment to deal with poor performance and improve the image of the department. The establishment of the Compliance Committee will assist greatly so that officials, through you, have sufficient time for self-correct. And when they come to engage with us as a committee, there are less concerns that will be raised by us as a committee. I think it can only improve if we police each other and do that in good faith without ulterior motives, you know, the intention of improving service delivery for our people. And in every thing we do, we must ensure every step talks to Project NDP 2030, and all these steps must also ensure the risk transformation. You emphasized on accountability, and we fully agree that accountability will deal with corruption. But we know there will always be people who are corrupt, but let's try by all means to reduce that. and uncontrolled leave have financial implications. Sometimes you end up hiring consultants to close the gap and ensure targets are met in accordance with the set-term frames. Let us try to avoid that and make sure that the leaves are being controlled. As you said, that already you've started the leaves that were rejected and for good reasons. We do not ask about qualifications because we do not trust you, but the presentations brought before the committee necessitate such questions sometimes, as you can see from other presentations. And also the term of response when a matter is reported to you will avoid irreparable damage, because the time it takes, if you take too long to deal with the matter, we end up having damages that are sometimes irreparable. It is important to have specific names of transgressors, otherwise you're going to paint everyone with the same brush. There are people who are doing their best, you know, to do what is required of them, and sometimes they go an extra mile. So if we generalize, we give people an opportunity to hide behind others. But if you are specific, people will improve as well. And as we look at your action plan here to remedy, you know, all the weaknesses or challenges here, we are looking at the BRRR of 2016. The same issues that you say you plan to, you know, to have actions to remedy them, they were dealt with by the AG in 2016. I'll just mention a few so that you see the relevance and also how they correspond with each other, exactly the same issues. Just to quote a few, it says key recommendations for improvement by the AG. Regular workshops between AG and the audit committee to ensure that there's action for corrective measures. The other one is leadership should develop training programs, and it is there in your action plan, to ensure that all staff are up to date with the requirements of their jobs and relevant legislation. Implement an effective performance management system which ensures that consequence management is implemented. That's the report BRRR for 2016, the same that you are referring to in terms of your action plans. It also says auditors should identify the cause of the material misstatements identified during the audit and ensure that adequate and immediate action is taken to address them. The other one on senior management, it says that senior management, political leadership, it says senior management, political leadership and oversight structures should continue to pay close attention to supply chain management transgressions. Investigate the incidents of non-compliance, take appropriate corrective steps, and implement consequence management. I think you'll agree with me that it goes, you know, hand in hand with the plans that you say you are going to apply to make sure that you remedy the situation. And we'd like to appeal on behalf of the committee that whenever you plan, please check the previous reports and prioritize, you know, challenges that are still outstanding, and also issues that are raised by the AG and also as the committee, that when you do the next report, please take that into consideration, not unless there are new challenges that are for emergency, but we think the ones that are raised by the committee should be attended to, so that when we meet in the next future or in the next meeting, we know have reports that they've been attended to, and if not, there will always be a reason why not. And also thank you for making time and put together the documents and provide us with the information that is required. And we always say you don't thank a fish for swimming, because it is in its nature to swim. If it doesn't swim, it won't survive. So we don't thank you for doing your work, but how you do your work is something that we can applaud you, and also try to mitigate for a permanent bonus. It depends on how you do your work. So it depends on how the fish swims, not that it swims, because it is in nature. So we are here to work. That's what we get paid for. But how we do our work is another thing. But I think it's not that bad. Not all is lost. We can still improve where we think with the challenges. But let's try to avoid the repeat of offenses that are being raised by the AG. I want to find that presentation after presentation, it has the same offenses. for those few words. Thank you very much. Until we meet again on Thursday. Thank you very much.
No,
oh, the same venue. The same venue.
For Thursday.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.